Hello, everyone, and welcome to Teach Right, the podcast for first-time instructors, experienced instructors, and anyone else interested in the teaching of writing. I'm Daniel Anderson, and we're coming to you from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Today we have a special podcast. We're going to be reflecting on the first semester of teaching, and we have Charlotte Scott, Gray Underwood, Tyler Elrod, and Mitch Lucido with us. They're going to be talking about labor, the workshop classroom, and the personal and professional investments that we have in teaching. So what would you like to tell our listeners to get started?
All right, let me start with polemic. I was walking from Mean Time yesterday thinking about the labor strike and the picnic, not to demean their cause whatsoever. It's a righteous and rightful cause. But I thought this interesting idea came to me wherein it seems like a lot of the time these days, and I don't know that this is going to make me a lot of friends in this room, but a lot of times these days, we conflate the sort of labor of being a 105 teacher, which is true, with this sort of weird, like, monetary extractive-based system. And I was like, I don't see teaching all the time, certainly a lot of the time, but not all the time, as labor that I'm doing for the university. I see it as something that I'm doing for myself. And I don't know if that helps anybody else see the light at the end of the tunnel or see the light in the darkness, so to speak. But anytime I conceive of it as something that I'm doing for myself, that I'm training myself or I'm teaching myself how to be a better teacher or just even a better person or a better interlocutor among peers, if I'm treating a class like a discussion, then that kind of helps me balance out some of those negative feelings that come with the obvious facts that we don't get paid enough to do what we do, for instance. So it sucks, and I don't want to defeat this cause that we deserve to make more money, because we certainly do. And I answered that on the survey that we completed yesterday. But at the same time, I think we have to balance a little bit of that as well, that this is something at the end of the day where we could all be making more money doing something that isn't grad school. We chose to be here for a reason. And that reason, I think we need to internalize and reflect a little more sometimes, rather than just be default to this naturally aggressive us versus the institution mode.
I love the idea of starting this with this sort of a polemic, but I think there's a usefulness in the, I often describe my existence in grad school as I am cannon fodder for the 105 program, which sounds terrible, but like this is the way that I think about, because my position in this grad program is contingent on teaching, right? That's where it comes from. So there is the very simple fact of seeing it as, okay, this is a thing to do in order to be here and do my studies, right? There's really no way around that. But I think that the move that you're suggesting, Tyler, to consider it for reasons that are not just, I'm here because I need to get my stipend so that I can maybe afford an apartment or something. Maybe. Is that the better way to think of it is as perhaps some sort of training for ourselves as teachers? I ultimately come down on it like once I'm in the classroom, I now have 19 first year students that are in this space ostensibly to learn how to write. Many of them probably are there to do the thing that they have to do, right? In the same way, right? They need to knock off this gen ed requirement, right? But ultimately, I find myself unable to shirk some of this labor that is necessary for the class, because I come down on, like, at the end of the day, I need to do this because these poor kids need me to, I'm in it once that class starts, right? I'm there to help teach these kids as best as I can, as best as they can be receptive for. And I think that is a sort of blurring of the line for me. I think it would be easier if I could comprehend it as this is training for me. And that would give me the opportunity to say, look, I worked for 15, 20 hours grading papers this week. Maybe next week I take it a little bit easier and I do a little bit less in my prep or something in recognition of this like transactional experience. But I struggle with that when I frame it to myself as what I'm doing here ultimately is teaching these students. Because in that way, I feel less good about waking up one day and be like, you know what? I don't want to take a lot of time to lesson plan today. So I don't know how the rest of y'all feel if you encounter that experience. But that's typically, I think, the difficulty for me. Not any feeling that I work for the university or anything, or these feelings of being unpaid are like besides the point to me, because like ultimately my labor is these kids that need to learn how to read and write. And if I don't do my work for them, then that's not going to be a productive experience.
No, I agree with what you're saying. And I certainly feel the weight of responsibility incumbent on me in terms of realizing that this is a class ultimately that they're forced to take in order to progress at the university, bearing that in mind. But at the same time, I've taken classes, introductory classes or classes that were taught by some TA or some hapless TA or somebody that doesn't had no stake in teaching the class. So I do feel a need to do everything I can to at least try to get them to get something, to learn something. As long as they learn something or can take something valuable, whatever that is, whether it's even if it's related to the writing process or not, that's what keeps me going. Like when I'm, as you guys have pointed out, when you're sitting in the darkness of your room after having graded like 15 papers in a row. So that's my two cents on it.
On the first day of class, I usually tell them that the one thing that they will learn from me is that if they see a free food experience on campus, they ought to go to the free food experience. That's the one concrete thing that I know that I've taught every cohort of students I have. But yeah, I think the move towards that, there's something that we can do.
Lots of opportunities for free coffee too. True. There's some booth or table every day in the commons. Just go over there and talk to them for 2 seconds and get a free cup of coffee out of it.
And a MAGA hat, baby.
Yeah, perhaps our job as 1 of 5 students as 1 of 5 teachers is less about the process of writing and more about just where do you find free stuff.
Yeah, I'm thinking about, Tyler, the way that you began this vein of inquiry. And I feel like it's very possible for me to think about both of those things at the same time, to realize that like the way I feel about helping my students and all of that as like a first-time teacher and as someone who's very committed to that, despite all of the mistakes I know I'm making, like I feel strongly about that, but I also feel strongly about other things. And I do feel the weight of being part of an institution that does things that I don't agree with. Mm-hmm. And I think letting go of that awareness, like keeping that awareness, is important to me as part of being aware of the systems that I am often usually required to exist in and be a part of, and recognizing that I am performing a service. We all are performing an important service for this university that they really need. Like English 105 is an important class. Everyone has to take it. It's a class that is vital to the running of the university, I think, in some ways. And recognizing that is something that can be used to push towards things that matter. And also that like the way I'm doing my work is highly dependent on how I'm feeling, the amount of time I have. If I were making more as a 105 teacher right now, I would not also be tutoring. And if I weren't also tutoring, I would have more time to work on my own stuff and I think prep for class and that kind of thing. Having the ability to take more time for my students, that would be easier if I didn't feel like I had to work another additional job. And it's not even that dire for me. There are other people who, they don't work another job, they're not going to make rent at all. So I feel like for me, I have to hold both of those things at the same time. But it's definitely, I'm not doing the work I'm doing for the institution, mm-hmm. but
sure.
I am benefiting them and they are paying me.
Yeah, I think it's important, as you say, to have an awareness of it and be cognizant and be ready to put your 2 cents in whenever the surveys come through without being petulant about it, because this is not an easy school to get into. I'm proud to be here, and it's not like I'm working for Walmart or working in a cubicle where I would take a more active stance in terms of really trying to stick it to the institution. Whereas I think here I'm less inclined to do that because as everybody here has pointed out, this is preparing me for my career path. This is ultimately where I want to go. And I do like teaching. And yeah, everybody would like to make more money and hopefully we can make that happen. But yeah, I think that, yeah, there's a balance to be had between being aware of it, as you say, Charlotte, and being petulant or ungrateful.
See, I'm inclined to be petulant. I would love to be. I think I would love to be able to. But this is my whole, this is my conundrum with it, which is I would love to be able to look at this and be like, oh, you know what? Not worth it to me today. I hit 10 hours this week, done and dusted, and be able to like make those sorts of arbitrary claims. But I don't feel like I can do that because I feel like I'm doing a disservice to my students. Which is, and I think that for me, that's the tricky part of this question of what does this labor look like that we're doing? Because to me, there's like an effective, maybe like emotional side to this labor that is outside of this question of, okay, how much time am I spending on it? It's, mm-hmm. you know, how much of my like general like academic time am I walking around not thinking about the seminar paper that I'm writing? Because I'm like, oh, I need to have a pretty good setup for how we're putting together this last project that we're working, right? I need to make sure, oh, I know all of my students are really busy right now. I know I've asked them, they're like, oh, I have midterms, which is a ridiculous phrase that apparently people in this university use to describe any sort of test that happens. That's neither here nor there. But they have like midterms that are happening now. They have finals that are coming up. And I feel like the onus is on me as their 105 teacher to be the one that says, okay, enough is enough. We're going to have an in-class work session today, which is what I did on Wednesday. We got in and I said, hey, guys, look, I realize everybody is super swamped right now. We're going to take this time. The students were super grateful for it, and I think a majority of them made good use of that time. But there's this question of, like, how much should I, as I guess there's two questions that I've gotten to now. It's just, like, how much should I, as one of five teacher, be, like, subservient? No, contorting my pedagogy to accept that other professors, other classes that they're taking are not, because I feel like that falls on us a lot of the time. And how much does doing that sort of work get in the way of me being able to do my grad studies work? Because I feel I've felt very acutely in the past couple of weeks that I need to find a way to lighten the load on my students, because I know they're so busy in their other classes, and I know for a fact that won't change. I have the power to change my class, and so I can, because again, ultimately my concern is well-being of my students and their ability to learn something. But I don't know why I feel like that falls to us.
I think I want to point out that my original comment is not to suggest that we shouldn't care about what the institution is doing. It's merely that when we devolve into a state of seeing our labor as merely transactional, then it's going to feel like a waste of time because we're not making enough money. I think maybe a segue from that into answering your question is sometimes the way that I try to manage labor, and maybe Dan might not like this to hear this, but I teach things that I want to read and that I care about and that are relevant to maybe some of the papers or the work that I'm doing in my sections. And that knocks out two things at once, right? Like I'm one, then I'm like reading and thinking about the things. And I'm not assigning them the readings that I myself am reading all the time. I'm assigning things within the realm of interest. But I'm not teaching them something, and it always pertains to the discipline, always. I'm not teaching them humanities during the natural sciences, for instance.
I am.
But yeah, I might have taught Jane Bennett. But I think that if you can somehow merge your grad studies with the labor you're doing in 105 so that you're operating in the same realm of thought, then again, you're now getting away from that transactional element that I think makes people so antagonistic toward the space. And it's gloomy. It creates a gloomy culture. And it also, I think, helps save you time in the thinking, because it's often the thinking that takes the most time rather than the actual writing or so that's one strategy I think I've tried to bring into 105 this semester.
Yeah, there's the tension I think that underpins a lot of what we're saying here is the difficulty to pin down what this labor looks like. Yeah. So much of it is this like sort of immaterial labor, which is like really hard to quantify. Like I kept throwing out as hypotheticals, oh, I spent 10 hours, I spent 15 hours. Truly, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. On a week-to-week basis, how much time I spend doing 105 work. Because it's hard to find the edges of that work, especially, I think, in a positive way, if you're doing what you're describing, Tyler, which is like, how can I bring my research interests into that space? Then that fuzziness is productive, or not productive, but useful as a grad student as well. Not useful either. I don't know what the good time is, but
that's advice that I've heard from some grad students who are further along in the program. If you can find a way to connect 105 to your research interests, then that can be productive and fun for you. I'm thinking, like, Mitch, with what you said about, oh, giving them a workshop, like, class, that being a decision. Oh, like, this class, this new thing. I feel like, again, speaking as someone who hasn't taught anything before this, a lot of my classes end up being, like workshops, time when they can come and ask me questions. And usually I do get questions from students, which is really good. And I've been doing a lot of peer review the second and third unit. And so that ends up being, like, a workshop atmosphere, too. But I like thinking about 105 as a sort of plant nursery class. I'm trying to get these students. We've talked at the beginning of the semester about what are we trying to teach them. And part of what I'm trying to teach them is healthy habits in some sense, if I can. And it's been cool to see some of my students actually become friends with each other. You notice that. And that's, like, heartwarming. I just, from the stuff I've heard from my students, also from the students I tutor, a lot of the classes, the first year classes that they take, even though they're first year, are sometimes really weirdly intense and not super conducive to settling in, getting to know the university, getting to know yourself as a writer and a thinker. And so I do feel like I enjoy the flexibility of 105 with that. And I just haven't had the time to find a bunch of readings that I'm used to assigning. So it is very project-based right now for me. And I think as I go along, I will probably have more specifics that I want to bring in and touch on. But I don't know. I think there are advantages to letting it be a sort of workshop space. I feel like I'm coaching them as they work on their projects, and I've had them pick things, each unit that they want to work on, like within the realm of whatever it is. And so I've gotten good feedback from students about liking that. And I think it can be helpful to give them that agency.
Well, I fully recognize the, like, true ridiculousness or irony of my statement. I felt this weird labor pressure to then ultimately decide we're gonna have a workshop day, which, like, ostensibly is, like, all of the students working by themselves and me, like, sitting at a desk waiting for one of them to come ask me a question. Because if you described that in the abstract, somebody would be like, you actually did no work, you just showed up to class and said, I don't know, guys, figure it out, I'll be over here if you need me. But there is, I like to think there's more of a pedagogical impulse behind a move like that. And again, it was like, I don't necessarily feel super comfortable leaving just big chunks of workshop space. But that's perhaps because I just like to have control over things. And so that was, like, a big decision for me to be like, actually, you know what, I'm going to take a step back today and I'm going to give away this space. Which was, again, I think you're right, and I would love to move to a place where I'm more comfortable doing that. But I think, again, with this feeling of responsibility, this transactional feeling that we've been describing, whether we want to embody it or not, I felt, here I am finding this little way to get out of doing work. I had that, like, nagging thought in the back of my head. I was like, oh, if I just walk in and I give them a little workshop day, congrats, I've actually managed to lessen my workload. And then I have the other side, which is, okay, but is that at risk of upsetting some pedagogical thing that I've done or whatever it is?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I hope not.
I wouldn't let that eat away at you too much, especially it's not like you've been doing that every class period for the entire semester. It's a really good time to bring that in because maybe you do realize, like, how much your students appreciate it, like, mm-hmm. at this juncture, to give them some time to, like, decompress and get some work done and have a period of time in the last, like, couple weeks of the semester here where they can just sit down and have some quiet, peaceful time to get some good progress.
I think it's totally acceptable to have workshop days throughout the semester. My standard go-to, and I think this is good because it sets expectations for students. They know what to expect, which is, if they have this sort of skeletal framework, if I then subvert it, that tends to be a good kind of pedagogical move, if you will. But I think having this standard has really benefited them in ways I didn't anticipate. Yesterday, I did a sort of course recap, and I said, this is my first time teaching this version of 105. I said, what worked and what didn't work? And one of the things that they told me worked was that all of my feeders for every single project is in some way, shape, or form, a draft. Before that draft, we do an in-class workshop day, much like the one you described, where
we're all talking to one another, or they're talking to their neighbor, or they're talking to me, they're asking questions, I'm available for public or private meetings or broad or specific questions. And they said that was actually one of the things they found most beneficial, because oftentimes they are, Charlotte pointed out, like, you're trying to create good habits. They admit to not having good habits as writers because they're 18, 19 years old, and then they wait till the night before. So this forcing them to come up with a draft and giving them the space and time to write a draft in a zone where they can ask questions and receive an immediate answer versus send me an email and who knows, it could take 2 minutes for me to reply or 2 hours, right?
2 days.
Yes. They liked that a lot. So I think you shouldn't feel bad about it, that's to say, and that maybe like consider building it into your syllabus, because my students at least found it really helpful. And I was surprised by that, because I thought they would think this is just like a day where we do nothing. But they liked it a lot. So it also, I support you doing it.
It also helps instill good habits in them, too, because ultimately their generation is not one that, you know, particularly takes to reading or writing in the traditional sense. And the state of the country, it's like 50-55% of the population doesn't know how to read or write beyond like a fourth grade level. So it's a good opportunity to instill, like, in order to better yourself, better your writing style, you should read. And you should look at these examples in the context of a workshop day where you have, this is an example of the genre that we're working in. This is how the structure is set up. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing you can also do, and this is something I do in the middle of the semester in October when everybody starts to feel gloom and doom, and I guess in the spring this will be what, like late February, March, when everybody starts to feel gloom and doom and then maybe perk up.
It's like spring.
Is my science section is 4 weeks long. It's shorter than the other sections, and the assignments are shorter. I found that's been helpful. One is it helps students with this problem of what they call a midterm. It gives them the space to study and breathe and focus on that. It gives me the space to study and breathe and focus on being terribly depressed. And it actually gives me 2 weeks at the beginning of the semester to front load a bunch of stuff like library day or like teaching the basics of an argument. Or one suggestion I got that I loved, this was voted down at the beginning of the semester, but now at the end of the semester, they've reneged and they want it. So I'm doing it next semester, teaching a grammar class, a class on grammar very briefly. And so if I have those 2 extra weeks at the beginning of the semester, front load, and I don't grade for grammar, by the way. So this is something that they actually just want, which is, I found inspiring.
Yeah,
I think like those 2 extra weeks at the beginning give you time to do some of that scaffolding while also giving you and your students a break in the middle.
Well, I think
we're a bit of a break.
I think part of what I'm getting from all your thumbs up on the workshop day that you're giving me is also, as much as we are concerned with our personal labor in this class, we are also incredibly concerned with the labor that we ask of our students. And I think that's something that's I hope that thing stands true in most pedagogical spaces, but I think as writers, we are like very aware of the experience of asking for some sort of produced piece that's ultimately not useful. And a worry about that is what informs us to make these feeder assignments that are meant to be, as you're describing, Tyler, like a draft on the way to something. Mm-hmm. I had a student during the workshop on Wednesday I just had them write lit reviews, basically, of all of their, they had done an annotated bibliography. And then I had them basically take that annotated bibliography and turn it into a lit review. And then they're going to be writing the draft next. And one of my students was like, wait, so could my lit review just appear in the draft of my paper because it's context? And I was like, yeah, that's the point of it. I was like, hopefully I've done my job well enough that the idea is I don't want to ask of my students to do things that I don't think are like going to be ultimately useful to them. Insofar as there has to be this move of they need to produce something for me, I don't like asking them to do things that are not in service of them producing that thing for me.
Yeah.
And so that is how the feeder assignments are set up. They're supposed to be this sort of way. But I think there's also this like underlying attention that we give to not trying to over ask of our students, or at least I don't like the feeling of asking my students to do something that's not going to be helpful for them to produce whatever big thing they have to produce that I have to create. As much as there is a transaction between us, I want to find a way to make that. And I think that for me, I think that just stems from, again, all of these feelings that we've been talking about of transaction between us and the university. There's also transaction between us and the student, as much as we might not like to use that term, or as much as we can avoid trying to view it that way, there are those like underlying relationships. Mm-hmm. And so as much as I don't want to be doing like immaterial or very visible labor for the university or something, right, I also don't want my students doing that sort of labor for me. I want them to be doing that labor in progress of learning to write.
Yeah, boo, busy work. It's a waste of everybody's time.
Yeah,
I don't want to read it. They don't want to write it.
Exactly.
It's a waste of time.
And so I think that's the thing that I'm feeling more and more conscious of the more that I teach, is because I'm very concerned with my own navigations of these sort of labor spaces in writing. Also very trying to pay more and more attention to what I'm asking of my students.
For me, part of that also in terms of allowing them to gear their labor and their work in the class towards, I had an example of that come up recently where my last unit was my business writing unit, and I had them do a professional resume. And I had a couple of students, but essentially the sort of overarching idea behind the project was to have them think about, based on their academic career and their desired career path, to come up with what's an internship opportunity, what's a company that you would ultimately like to work for, or what ultimately would you like to do for your career?
And BlackRock.
And some of them were just like, am I able to gear this? If I'm working like a day job this summer, if I'm working at like an ice cream parlor, for example. And I had a little bit of hesitancy because I had this more lofty idea of what it was. This is supposed to be more of a professional endeavor. But then I changed gears and I allowed them to do that. And I think it's because it's really for them, ultimately. Mm-hmm. That's what the thought that sort of changed my mind there was just like, this is for their purposes. So if they want to do a resume for a day job that they want to get this summer and it helps them and they have that ready to go to where they don't have to worry about it later, then great.
Yeah.
Great.
Why am I
being a stickler about my own prescribed structure for this project?
Did you get any resumes that said they were coming for your job?
A couple.
Okay.
Couple. Yeah. the students, they disappeared a couple of days. Nobody's been able to find them. I don't know. Yeah.
Look,
yeah. If you guys have any information about
then, call the hotline.
Yeah, feel free to inform the authorities.
Like, yes, that's one way to reduce labor.
Yeah. I think next semester I'll just make them write my seminar paper.
Yeah, magic,
that's an idea.
I only have five sheeted papers to read.
I was in the, like, I, on office hours, I was in my office with a student helping her work on her thesis. She would just go away and sit at one of the other empty desks and work for a while and come back. And I'd say, well, this is good, but you could do this thing. And I told her, I'm working on a thesis for a paper of my own. And she seemed to really enjoy like learning that. And so we had this sort of like almost co-working sort of thing going on. She was just hanging out and doing her stuff. And the thesis she came up with at the end was so much better. And she was so happy. She said,
better than yours?
Yes, on that too, because mine was still in progress and I didn't have anything. But she was so happy with herself at the end that she had figured this out. And I think giving students more time to think about things, like Tyler was saying, it takes so much time to think about stuff. Like sometimes having more time, if it's still something that they care about and not just busy work, like the work is deeper and richer and they notice more things, like you can have them reflect on that process. If a little more breathing room, I think is honestly like makes the work that you do have them do much better.
Yeah.